Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we talk about this stuff, money, filthy lucre, as some people call it. True or false? The Bible says, quote, money is the root of all evil. It's false. Here's the quote, 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is neutral. It's what you do with it that makes it good or bad. Back in the 1700s, Henry Fielding said, if you make money your God, it will plague you like the devil. Billy Graham said, Jesus talked a great deal about money and the problems it causes man. In fact, one-fifth of all Jesus had to say was about money. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church in England in the 1700s, said, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. When I have any money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. So there's a story of a preacher that was preaching Wesley's sermon, and he says, earn all you can. The preacher, the farmer in the back row, amen, preach it, earn all you can. Point number two, save all you can. The farmer says, amen, save all you can. Point number three, give all you can. Silence. Somebody said, money is like manure. If you spread it around, it does a world of good, but if you pile it up, it stinks to high heaven. You know, a number of years ago, a man in Alabama spent $6 million of his dollars to send the Jesus video to every person in the state of Alabama. And some people criticized him, well, you should have taken that money and fed the hungry. He did. He was feeding the spiritually hungry with his money. So today, don't touch that dial. We're going to talk about money. I'm not going to do what some TV preachers do and say, send me money and you're going to be healed of your cancer. I'm not like those people, but we need to talk about what advice does God have to give us about our money. So would you take out your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul is going to talk about God's advice about our money. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we pray now for poor people, rich people, whoever's watching this show, that you will show us, Father, what you want us to do with our money, not what the world wants or our families want. God, show each of us what you want us to do with the money you've placed into our hands. May we be good stewards of it, and may you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He's going to talk to them about money now. And here we go, Romans chapter 15, verse 22. Paul writes, for this reason I have often been hindered from coming to you, Romans, but now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. Here's the first lesson I want you to learn about money. Paul asks for money. Very subtly, very gently, he's asking for money in this verse. In fact, you could say that the whole book of Romans was a missionary financial support letter. And Paul writes this letter, and then he says, now, for me to take the gospel to Spain, could you support me in that? It's not a sin when a missionary or a pastor asks for money. I've been a pastor many years. I hate to talk about money in a sermon because you can feel the people getting nervous. But if we want the gospel to spread, you got to talk about money. And here's the next lesson from this verse. Paul asks for money last. He doesn't bring up money until chapter 15 of Romans. I preached through the book of Romans at my church years ago. Took me 2 full years to get through the first 14 chapters of Romans. Paul doesn't mention money once, but finally in chapter 15, he brings it up. Now, there's a certain radio preacher that I've heard a few times. It's a 20-minute program. In one of his programs, he spent 18 minutes of the 20 minutes asking for money. You've seen some of these TV preachers. You send me your money. You sow a seed into this ministry, and you're going to be healed of your cancer. Just don't give money to those people. Paul the Apostle brought up money, but it wasn't till the end of the letter. And that leads to one more lesson from this verse. Check out a person's theology before you give him money. I think Paul maybe was doing this. He writes Romans chapters 1 through 14 and says, here's what I believe. Here's the gospel. Here's the message I want to take to Spain. Are you on board? Do you believe this is eternally important? Would you help me take this message to Spain? So I think you need to check out people who want your money. Years ago, when the Reverend Sung Myung Moon, who claimed to be the second coming of Christ, was still alive. He's dead now. But my doorbell rings, and there's some people there wanting to give me free carnations, and they want me to give to a, quote, Christian orphanage. And I said, by any chance, are you part of the Unification Church of the Reverend Sung Myung Moon? Well, yes, we are. And I said, I don't think that's a Christian ministry. I don't think he's the second coming of Christ. I can't give you money. Check out the theology of people who are asking for your Christian money. About 2 weeks ago, I'm up north in Minnesota, and one of our board members and I did some work for our TV ministry, and then we're driving home. Sunday morning, it's about 9 o'clock. We want to go to church. So we're in a small town in northern Minnesota. It's an ELCA Lutheran church that has a 9 o'clock worship service. As you probably know, I left and I led my church away from the ELCA because they've become so unbiblical. But okay, we're going to try it. So my friend and I go into the door and we sit down, and the usual things happen. They desex God language. They get hell out of the Apostles' Creed. And then the pastor preached and said something that was really off base. I won't go into it, but after the service, I'm struggling because I hate confrontation. Lord, am I supposed to say something to him or not? And I waited till everybody was gone. I went up to him privately, and I said what I had to say. And I was polite, gentle. And I said, please don't be offended, but here's what I believe that verse means. And you could tell he didn't want to talk about it. But my buddy sees a woman in that church that he knew years ago. So he goes up to her and, oh, sorry, I heard about the death of your husband, et cetera, et cetera. And then he says to her, do you know what the ELCA Lutheran Church stands for? And she said, oh, you mean the gay stuff? And he said, yeah, the ordained practicing homosexuals. They have a transgender bishop. I don't know if he got into that. But she said, yeah, I know, I don't agree with that either. But I was baptized at this church. I was raised in this church. And I have to go here. So here she is, giving her money to this denomination that even pays for abortions with offering dollars. And my point to you is, before you give your money to a denomination or a missionary or a church, check out what they believe before you give to them. Let's look at verse 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints, the Christians in Jerusalem. For Macedonia and Achaia, Greece, have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Now here's the next lesson. Remember the Christian poor. The mother church in Jerusalem that started Christianity and sent out the missionaries, they're hurting because there's poverty going on. So Paul's going around the Roman Empire to his churches, gathering up a collection to give to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. Do you do that? Do you give to the Christian poor? I got this recently. Again, my persecution.org, if you can get this for free, go to persecution.org. And here are the stories After Maria posted a video of herself singing a Christian song on TikTok, her brother and uncle killed her for her terrible transgression. I should also mention Maria had been given in marriage to an older Muslim man when she was 12. So goes the life in the Middle East for many people who leave Islam for Christianity. Maram and her family put their faith in Jesus Christ after God miraculously healed her son. They were kicked out of their village and desperate. ICC, International Christian Concern, relocated them to a safe place. Subhi converted to Christianity after witnessing ISIS beheadings. When we found him and his sons, they were starving and too afraid to leave their house. We helped them flee to a safe area. Muhammad was severely beaten by radicals when he was found distributing Bibles. We relocated him and provided a taxi so he could make a living. Fahad shared his newfound faith with his family. The response? They slashed him with a knife and shot at him in the head with a nail gun. We, at International Christian Concern, paid for his medical care. That kind of thing is going on around the world. Do you help the Christian poor? The early church did. Look at verse 27. Yes, and they were pleased to do so, for they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles, the non-Jews, have shared in their, the Jewish Christians, spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Here's the next lesson. When you're blessed, bless back. The Jerusalem church had blessed the world by sending out missionaries, and these non-Jews, these Gentiles, get saved. Paul says, okay, now it's time for you to bless them back. They're in poverty. Would you give money to help the Christian poor? When you're blessed, bless back. Now, sometimes somebody asks, well, Pastor, I'm going to start tithing now, giving 10% of my money to God. Where do I give that money? Do I give it to the church or to a missionary? Where do I give? And I'm going to give you what I do. I'm not saying this is the word of God, but here's what I do. My 10%, I give to my local church. That's where I'm being fed, and I think it's right to support where you're being fed spiritually. But my offerings, above and beyond the 10%, I give wherever I want, like International Christian Concern, the Timothy Initiative, these ministries that are really helping bringing people to Christ. One more point about giving today. You can't take it with you. Job said, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. I came into this world naked. I'm going out naked." In other words, you can't take it with you. There's an old saying, you will never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. There's a Far Side cartoon of a woman standing in her living room on the phone, and her baby grand piano is being pulled out the window up into a cloud, and she's saying, "Ah, it's Henry. He's taking it with him." No, he isn't. There's another cartoon of a man in his car standing in front of the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, "Okay, your car can come in." No, it can't. There's another cartoon of a wealthy man who brings his gold up to heaven, and St. Peter says, "Why did you bring pavement up here?" And I love the T-shirt that says, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." Two men were dying in a hospital room. One man very wealthy, and the other a Christian man who tried to share his faith, but the wealthy man was not interested. Later, a nurse steps into the room, and the wealthy man has a pained look on his face. "Sir, are you okay? Do you need medicine? Are you?" And he said, "No." "Well, sir, what's wrong?" And he said, "He's going to his treasure. I'm leaving mine." You leave everything. You know, there is one thing you can take with you to heaven, and that's the souls that you have brought to Christ. That you can take in the gates. Everything else stays down here. And I have this, I've shown this many times. I love this old plaque I found at a garage sale. It says, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ shall last. And one last point. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. Let me repeat that. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. If somebody says, well, I'll leave money to the church in my will, that shows no faith whatsoever. Do your giving while you're living. Plus, you don't know if some greedy relative will work his way into your will and get the church's money. So give your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. All right, let's review what the Apostle Paul teaches us about money. Number one, Paul asks for money. Your pastor isn't sinning if he asks for money, and your missionaries aren't either. Number two, but Paul asks for money last. Also, check out a person's theology, a denomination's theology, before you join that church and give them your money. Remember the Christian poor. Persecution.org, you can get a free magazine every month, and it'll tell you how to pray and support the Christian poor. If you've been blessed, bless back, and then know that you're not going to take it with you. So do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. That is what the Apostle Paul taught about giving in the 15th chapter of Romans. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today. I believe tithing is an Old Testament concept and that New Testament Christians are not required to tithe. Is that right?
Well, technically I'm going to say yes, but in the Old Testament, the tithing command was given to the Jews. Take 10% of your crops, give it to the Lord's work or give it to the temple or whatever. In the New Testament, Paul says, give as you prosper. Mm-hmm. That's the New Testament concept. So some people are going to give a lot more than 10% to the church. But I had a man at church say, you know, Pastor Brock, you preach tithing, and that's an Old Testament thing. We don't have to tithe. And I said to him, all right, but if the Old Testament Jews, who knew this much about the love of God, were to give 10%, mm-hmm. do you think New Testament Christians who know this much about the love of God, that he spread out his arms mm-hmm. on the cross to save our souls, are they going to be moved to give less or more than the Old Testament mm-hmm. Jews? So my opinion is everybody should tithe. Poor people in Africa tithe. We poor in America mm-hmm. and rich in America can tithe. And I think we should do it. Technically okay, but why not?
And to whom much is given, much is required.
That's what it says.
You can't outgive God.
We're one of the richest countries on mm-hmm. earth. It's hard to believe Christians in America can't tithe.
Amen.
Yeah.
How did the Apostle Paul die?
This is not in the Bible, but the early church tradition is that he was beheaded in Rome mm-hmm. under the reign of Emperor Nero. Nero is horrible. And he persecuted the church, and he beheaded Paul. That's the early church tradition. We're not 100% sure it's true, but it looks very old.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. What groups should I not give money to?
If the Jehovah's Witnesses are at your door, they deny that Jesus is God. If the Mormons are at your door, they believe in thousands of gods, and you can become one. If the Moonies are at your door, which they aren't much anymore, because the Moon died. Moon claimed to be the second coming of Christ. He's dead, so they're not at my door with carnations anymore. But if they're at your door, I wouldn't give money to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there are certain Christian denominations that used to be good, and you can give your money to. And those denominations, I talked about them in my sermon, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Episcopal Church, did I say that? These churches have gone over the edge supporting abortion. Mm-hmm. They pay for abortion for any reason with offering dollars in their denominations. Mona, way back in 1997, when I was still in the ELCA, I went to the National Assembly, and some pastors got up and said, we're paying for abortion for any reason with the offerings of the people of God? This has got to stop. We lost 2-1. I came back mm-hmm. to my church in Minneapolis and said, time to get out of this denomination. Mm-hmm. And we joined a much more biblical branch of Lutheranism. So, you know, Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod, the Free Lutherans, they don't believe in abortion. But the ELCA pays for it with offering dollars. So be careful where you give your money.
Mm-hmm. When they come to your door, how do you politely refuse them? What do you usually say?
Actually, when they come to my door, because no offense, I know my stuff, I'll have a real conversation with the Mormons and with the... But if you don't know the Bible as well as you probably should, you might want to just say, well, thank you, but I don't believe like you do, and just be polite. Mm-hmm. Don't slam the door, just be polite.
Be polite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can I tell if a ministry is legitimate or not?
Okay. Well, a couple things. Go to the website. If you go to our website, right on the front is our statement of faith. We believe in one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We believe we're saved by the grace of Christ, not by our good works. We believe that abortion, homosexuality, premarital sex are contrary to the Word of God. You go to other websites. You go to some churches' websites, and the first thing you see is a big rainbow banner proclaiming how pro-gay they are. And it's just sick how instead of the first thing being that we're saved by the cross of Christ, the first thing is we're an inclusive, pluralistic congregation. We celebrate gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender believers and all this stuff. First, again, go to my website. I've struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life. I abstain because 1 Corinthians 6 says you go to hell if you don't repent of that. So go. You want to give your money to a church, a denomination, a ministry that promotes the Bible, not that says it's Christian and denies the Bible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What mission groups do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. I've done my homework, Mona. I love our ministry. People give to us so we can spread the gospel. I love persecution.org, the International Christians Concern, helping Christians who are being persecuted, International Christian Concern or persecution.org. I love something called, Google the words, The Timothy Initiative. I want my money to go to the salvation of souls. So this, the Timothy Initiative is converting people to Christ in Nepal, in India, in various places throughout the world. There's another one you can Google called Reaching Unreached Nations. There's Samaritan's Purse. There's lots of good Christian things out there. But do your homework. I think you can go to charitynavigators.org. charitynavigators.org or com, and it rates them, and it tells you, Timothy Initiative is great. The money goes where it's supposed to go. Mona, I would not give a penny to these preachers on TV that have a jet, and they're trying, and they're wearing the finest suits on earth. I mean, I don't give my money to those people. I give it to people that are spreading the gospel among the lost. That's where we go.
And there's lots of good organizations.
There are. There sure are.
Another viewer question. If God chooses who will be saved and who won't, and there is no free will, then how can people be put in hell if they are not chosen? Wouldn't God be punishing them for not being chosen?
Yeah. And this viewer saw the show that I preached on Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, where God says, the Lord hardens whom he wills, and he has mercy on whom he wills. You will say to me, why does God still find fault for who resists his will? And Paul's answer is, don't talk back to God. So God, I don't believe in free will. I don't believe you on your own power can come to Christ. The Acts says the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive the things said by Paul. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So I know this is a difficult topic. I don't understand it totally. But Mona, if you're watching this, or Mona, if you're a Christian, it is because before you were born, you were predestined unto salvation. And now the difficult part, what about the people that don't believe? Somehow we want to say that's their fault. I know that doesn't make sense, but there you go.
And we still can pray that God would open a family or friends.
The only way we can pray that is if it's up to God and not to them and their free will, because then they'll never come.
Okay.
So there you go.
Another viewer question. Some say Romans 9 through 11 teach that some are predestined to salvation, others to damnation. Nothing could be further from the truth. All people have a choice because of Romans 10:13.
Okay, so let's look at that verse. I did this earlier. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, that's true. My question, how is it that person called upon the name of the Lord? Was that something they dreamed up on their own and by their own power got out of sin and came to Christ? Or did the Lord open Lydia's heart to receive the things said by Paul? When the apostles were preaching in the book of Acts, it says, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. So my belief is, yes, Romans 10:13 is true. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how is it that you and I call upon the name of the Lord? It's because the Holy Spirit worked on our heart and gave us the gift of faith.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Another viewer question. What does the Bible say about calling someone a fool?
Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if you call somebody a fool, you can go to hell for that. And so, Mona, when I hear somebody call somebody a fool, I think, And it's not just the word fool, empty-headed, whatever. So I think we need to be very careful with that. Having said that, Jesus called the Pharisees fools. Mm-hmm. James, in the book of James, said, you fools. Paul the Apostle says to the Galatians who have left the gospel for legalism, said, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you to abandon the gospel of Christ? So it's not like you can never say it. Mm-hmm. So what I think Jesus means in Matthew 5 is to randomly call people fools, you're in trouble doing mm-hmm. that. You got to watch your mouth.
Exactly.
But there comes a time under the anointing of the Holy Spirit where Paul, Jesus, and James called people fools.
Watch what we speak,
well,
right?
That's right.
What does Jesus mean when he says, whoever sins you retain, they are retained, in John 20, verse 23?
Okay. Mona, I talked about this in the sermon, and I put that question in, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
The preacher that I had to correct in northern Minnesota, he had preached, Jesus rises from the dead, and he says to the disciples, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they're retained. Mm-hmm. And this ELCA Lutheran pastor said, well, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, we know God wants us to forgive everybody, everything, so he can't mean that we retain their sins. And in other words, he was teaching, if you don't proclaim forgiveness to absolutely everybody, you're keeping them in bondage. So I went up to him politely and I said, John 20 talks about church discipline. Matthew 18, Jesus says, if somebody won't repent, you kick them out of the church. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 5, if somebody continues in evil and won't repent, you kick them out of the church. John 20 is talking about forgiving those who are repentant, but retaining the sins of those that are impenitent. And so I had to correct him. I mean, I didn't want to because I don't like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I was polite, and he got a pained look on his face, and you could tell he did not want to talk about it. But again, I love the ESV study Bible, where they have good notes on the bottom mm-hmm. of each page explaining the difficult verses. There you go.
Sometimes you have to confront a person. Thanks for joining us today. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next time on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.